Welcome to In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio, with your hosts, Dr. John A. Oliver and Willie Anderson. Hello. This is In the Clear,
Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio.
And the good brother's back in town, y'all.
Back in town, bringing the CLE to your ear.
Yes. Welcome back, bro.
It's good to be back.
Yes, it is.
A lot has changed in Austin over the last, what has it been, 3 years?
Has it been 3 years?
It's been 3 years, almost to the date, 3 years. Hmm. So there's lots of construction, traffic still the same, and a lot of the faces are still here, and they're looking good. You're looking good.
You look good, brother.
Thank you very
much.
Look
good, brother.
You know what they say, black don't crack.
Oh, unless you get hooked. That's not good.
I don't know about all that. I have to read up on that.
You've heard about it.
So tell me, what's been going on in the city?
You just went away from that.
I just went all the way around.
You deflected. That's the word.
It's called the pivot. I did the pivot.
Okay, the pivot. So deflected, Doc?
Reflected. Refraction. It's all about light.
Mm-hmm. So let's think positively.
So how are we framing this? What's the lens in which we will identify, understand, and discuss some of the things that are
going on? We're just saying welcome back. And
you can tell us
you've been out. Tell us what's going on in your world.
How I am.
In your life. Well, be you.
Well, I'm doing that. Okay. And I say you are still being you.
I mean, I would not want to be anybody else.
You there is. You perfected it.
We're growing.
So my saying is I'm doing well and getting better.
Good.
So it's always striving for perfection, for excellence.
Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like? What does that mean
It means that you understand who you are, you understand where you've been, and you're always asking, well, where am I going? It's like that mahogany sign.
Do you know?
Where you going to?
Do you like the things
that life is showing?
And that's where we cut to songs.
Right.
Again, we probably should play
that
song. You know, because there's a message in the music, bro.
A message in the music.
Good
you should
brother.
Do a segment on that.
We still do.
Do you know? Do you care what you're hoping for? When you look behind you, there's no indoors. What are you? Thank you.
Like I said, I've been away. Mm-hmm. My heart has been here. Mm-hmm. My physical has just been in Kalamazoo.
What's your heart?
Michigan. Well, I took some of that, you know, but I left a piece of my heart here.
You left a very profound legacy, and we appreciate legacy. All the work. Yes, and it continues. Wow. And so the thing is, with radio and technology, right. We're able to continue.
And we should.
And we are.
We've reconnected, so mm-hmm. let's stay connected, mm-hmm. and let's sustain mm-hmm. this thing that we call Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio, and bring the CLE to the ear.
And so what's going on now? It may not be necessarily in the clear.
Well, it's still in the clear. It's about bringing the community together to learn together and be able to do it in public.
So I don't have to go back and just say, let's edit that part.
No. We just leave it like it is.
Because so whatever name we call it.
It is already in the clear. Mm-hmm. It's already Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio.
So there's a delegation in town.
Right. So we're here. I'm back in Austin, mm-hmm. and I'm here with a group of city leaders, organizational leaders, nonprofits, educators, researchers, mm-hmm. and we made a trip to Austin because there were some interesting things happening here and great people who are leading initiatives that we felt that we could learn from. So Kalamazoo is engaged in a process that's called Shared Prosperity Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. And the focus is to eradicate, to crush poverty, to end generational poverty. And we're looking at a two-generation approach to that where we're working with both young people and their caregivers, their parents mm-hmm. or guardians, because at many connections, both the young people need help and the adults need help. So if you can work with the family and provide wraparound service, connect them to supports, connect them to resources, then you can see the generational poverty trend begin to correct itself.
So beyond research, you say that we're connecting, or you're connecting with this delegation. You're coming here. What are these organizations? Can you identify some of those organizations?
Sure.
And what are they doing? And what exactly is the purpose of those organizations?
The city of Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. There is the Shared Prosperity Committee. There's the United Way of Kalamazoo and Battle Creek. Mm-hmm. There's Communities and Schools Kalamazoo. Hmm. And we're meeting with organizations here in the city, in particular the Ray Marshall Center, Communities and Schools Central Texas, mm-hmm. and several other organizations. I don't want to start naming organizations, United Way, Greater Austin,
sure.
And learning what you all are doing in the city mm-hmm. and what things can be replicable back in Kalamazoo.
So I know you're here in person, but knowing that you are very inquisitive and
right.
just conscientious.
Well,
what do you already know? You're welcome. What do you already know about some of these things? I mean, why those organizations?
Well, what we know, what I know, and what I understand is that these issues are not a one thing, a one-time thing. They're mm-hmm. systemic. They're in many cases, they're systematically implemented policies that are still negatively impacting communities, impacting young people, impacting, mm-hmm. you know, their families. Mm-hmm. And so until we identify that these things exist and that there are people who are in place who can make change, then we'll always, well, I don't like to use sweeping statements, then we'll usually have the outcomes that we see. And we're not satisfied with those. So now that we're calling those things out, now it's time to begin to work toward a solution, or at least work toward asking better questions.
So do you see anyone already addressing those things? And even before the delegation came, seems almost like I'm being not an oxymoron, but
it's like, it makes me, when you ask that, it made me think of, don't get me to start quoting scripture, but I can tell you the story, paraphrase the story.
All right.
Where the prophet was with his servant, mm-hmm. and the servant was like, you know, distraught and down. And he was like, well, how can we accomplish what's before us? And the prophet said to his servant, like, well, just believe, right?
Hmm.
But then he asked God to reveal and open his eyes mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. then he could see. And so he saw out all around the mountain, all around the ridges, that there was an encampment around.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
like, you haven't been alone. You're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've hid these individuals away. So I say that to say that there are organizations, there are people who are constantly engaged in the work, who are doing the work, who've been there doing the work. Unfortunately, those individuals may feel as if they've been doing it alone.
Hmm.
But now it's time to begin to call out and say, look, I see you. I'm doing this work. You're doing this work. Let's connect. Let's make our mm-hmm, network mm-hmm. stronger. And then we can actually implement the African proverb that when spiders join, they can bind an elephant. And so something as small as a spider, a one web, but if you link it up, you link it up, you link it up, it can stop something as mighty as an elephant. And so what we're looking at is poverty is that elephant. And so you always talk about the elephant in the room. Hmm. Poverty has been charged and charging forward as a raging elephant throughout communities. So it's like now it's time for the small to gather, connect, and make this web that's going to provide the supports for families that would then turn around communities.
So I've said it, and it was edited, not by me.
By whom?
I've written an article before that said poverty is a rich industry.
I've heard people call poverty pimps. I'm like, whoa, that's heavy language. But they say, well, when you look at what people do, what they say, and how they oppress individuals, it is that type of interaction, and it fits. So they say, call it what it is. I'm like, wow, all right, well. I didn't call it that, but that's what I've heard it called and heard individuals mm-hmm, call it. So mm-hmm. It's interesting.
I just have to stop right now. I just have to stop and just breathe because that touches literally home and the heart of poverty. I think poverty is beyond just your circumstances as far as your financial wealth or circumstance or lack thereof of monies, the mentality. And that word systemic, could you please just speak to that?
So systemic, it happens, it recurs, it's a repeating cycle, it's on repeat, it continues in a cyclical, not always upward either. But then I also add a systematic. It's like it's purposeful, it's designed, it's in place. And so you have a purposeful, designed, in place policy, procedure, protocols that were specifically designed to oppress people and keep people back or keep people from accessing resources. That's systemic, or it's systematic, and then becomes systemic because it becomes replicable. It happens. And that's why we have this generational effects. So we're trying to break this generational curse of poverty, the generational curse of miseducation, or ineffective resources, or supports that are not readily available or accessible. So how do you shift that? And so working both with young people to show and teach and support them, but then also realizing, okay, well, we're reaching the young people, but their families have gone through similar situations. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to forget about the elder in the family. We don't want to forget about the parent in the family. Many of these individuals may need support with GEDs or high school equivalencies or English as second language. So then they are also in need of some support and resources.
So I'm speaking from my own lens of I know where I am and where I've been and where I want to go. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to project my own.
But why not? That's your story.
Oh,
so when
so, okay.
People, so people say, well, what's your story? And so even one of the great negotiators from this area, teacher, all the way through President LBJ. You know, understanding his story and his upbringing and going through struggle and, you know, challenges. But then you see him reaching all the way to the presidency. So he never veered away from the story of struggle and uplifting oneself through support with others and community and family and reaching out to, you know, to those who are in similar circumstances. So I interrupted to say, that's your story. Mm-hmm. And so if it's part of you, who you are, your journey, it's not just the end point, it's all those benchmarks that happen in between.
So I play on words, projecting and projects, because that's how I grew up. You live in a project. You're a project girl.
But even understanding the genesis of the word projects
and
what it was designed for, it was designed to help individuals who needed certain supports, who needed housing. And housing is still one of the greatest barriers for wealth generation. But then when you look at one of the greatest policies that were implemented, the GI Bill, it was set up in a way where African Americans and those other folks of color could not access it.
So it was military.
So you go and you fight, which folks have fought in every war that's hosted by this country, but unable to access the resources as a result of participating. And so GI Bill's coming back, purchasing a home. And so when that home is now appreciated over, you say, 50 years, that grandparent purchasing a home at $5,000, now worth $500,000 on the west sides of our cities, on the west side of the highways, which the highways came through many of the prosperous communities.
Okay.
They had businesses, they had networks. But the highway systems came through and dismantled those communities, dismantled those resources, dismantle those connections. And so even with that, creating the generational poverty cycle. And mm-hmm. so identifying that, calling those out, connecting them to specific moments in time, history, as a policy, they were specific, they were systematic, and they've created systemic issues that we're now trying to address through this generational poverty and shared prosperity approach.
Communities in school and the partnerships,
we're
collaboration.
We're one of the organizations as part of the
United Way.
United Way, City of Austin.
Okay.
City of Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo.
United Way of Kalamazoo Battle Creek. CIS of Kalamazoo.
CIS
of Central Texas.
Again, Communities in Schools,
right,
the acronym.
Communities in Schools, thank you. Mm-hmm. Share Prosperity Kalamazoo. The Kalamazoo Promise. And I know there are a couple others, mm-hmm. Chambers of Commerce from mm-hmm. both Austin and Kalamazoo. The school districts, Austin ISD and Kalamazoo Public Schools.
This has been another edition of In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio. I'm Willie Anderson. We were very happy and just proud to have Dr. John A. Oliver, the good brother Dr. Oliver, back in the studio here at KZI 88.7 FM. We want you to stay tuned to the voice and soul of Austin, and always, please, please keep it in the clear.
Mahogany, Berry Gordy's 70 hit movie, Diana and Billy at their peak, and I was loving my yellow Levi hip huggers with the bells, flat stomach then, no kids, and yet so young, that song affected me. Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? And growing up in Chicago, life showed you a good time. Like corn dogs and merry-go-round at Funtown. Some of the best pizza around. Saturday morning cartoons and Soul Train lines in the afternoon in the living room. Don Cornelius helping us get our funky groove on. Yeah, yeah, see, I remember when the biggest afro was the lit. And What's Going On was hit. Marvin Gaye prophesizing through his licks. Ron O'Neill had plenty of chicks. Power to the People pick set on our tracks. And oh, Archie didn't like his neighbors, cause they were black. So George and Wheezy moved up to the condos and gave them their hood back. When More Black History was released, the numbers of black doctors and lawyers increased, and we all absorbed 20 hours of TV in just 1 week as we felt the excruciating pain of Kunta Kinte's feet. That was a good time Chicago was showing me. Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? See, then the words started to haunt me. See, in order to know where you're going, you gotta know where you've been. And then I started to go back. Yeah. Way back, remembering those good times when being rebellious was fighting for civil rights, and drive-bys started in members of the NAACP living a dangerous life, and Coretta King and Betty Shabazz, they were first ladies, not just wives, giving a whole new meaning to stand by your man. Then I remembered getting the message, the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. That last poet knew advanced technologies would cause us to beat our talking drums through the internet. Checked your email yet? Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Then memories turned into nightmares. Nightmares. When colored people couldn't vote, couldn't get a book of knowledge at the same library they paid taxes for, couldn't use white public bathrooms, couldn't live places, work corporate jobs, walk in the front door of a 4-star restaurant where they sang mammy songs the night before, couldn't go to the movies, amusement parks, museums, wasn't allowed in the law school of UT of Austin, and you want me to remember the Alamo. Remember the Alamo? Your manipulation has caused such a great abomination. My people drowning in such desolation. Words coming out of your mouth are pollution. You think the gun to the back of my head is the solution? Because the value of a Dodge Neon equals a life? Children, protect yourself from tribulation and strife. The devil's workshop is busy trying to enlist, sucking you into a negative self-abyss, deceiving your thoughts that the heaven inside you don't exist, keeping you depressed and full of addiction. But you have the power to handle any affliction. Don't permit the shackles of slave mentality to prevail. Allow your divine light to shine through their hell. I need you to be Moses and save our people from the jail so that corporate companies can go bankrupt and fail. Walk in your power and demonstrate who really is free. Because you are the epitome of what they dream to be. You being a second-class citizen is a fallacy. Keeping you inferior is a sign of their insecurity. Don't tolerate everything they chronicle. But not too fast, not too furious. We have to think logical. Oops. I'm sorry. I was dreaming when I wrote this, so sue me if I go too fast. Because see, I was once blind, but now I can see. And as I walk through the valley of a new millennium, I know life is as simple as good and evil. And you make your own decisions of which road to leave your footprints in and how much baggage to carry over. Because all I have room for is my dance, my music, my nappiness, my blackness, my mamas, my papas, my history, my ancestors, my God, my God, my God. It's a dog-eat-dog kind of world. I'm a Rottweiler mixed with pit bull, ready to lock jaw down on anything or anybody that stands in the way of me getting a big old plate of soul food. And not the leftover scraps that were thrown to the slaves to eat and Big Mama season with fat back and a dash of cayenne pepper. Not the edible stuff, but the soul food you consume just by being in a room with a buffet full of poet. And I know you're hungry. Mouth watering, stomach growling. I see your eyes gazing. You want it laid out buffet style. $9.99 special. If not served within 15 minutes, you want it free. You don't even have to open up the menu because it's written all over your face. Because some of y'all been fighting battles that's not even true. And while my arms are too short to box with God, my mind's not too short to box with you. You see, I've gone fist to fist and blow to blow with the devil. But my ringmaster stepped in and said, sit down, child. I got this. It's not your battle. So I bask in the ebony sun to warm up my soul and listen to my powerful ancestors' voices in the wind asking me, what will they remember about you? What will they remember about you? Mahogany.